Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadikarab, guten tag, jao, weevi, vaket, bang, half a day, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan, from left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial core, poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster-bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the USNRA, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Go Vegan Radio will be joining the Genesis Communications Network for syndication the first week in May, so we hope to have access to many, many more radio stations carrying the program. You hear us live now on KCAA in Southern California's Inland Empire, 1 p.m. Sundays, KCAA AM 1050, KCAAradio.com, rebroadcast at 4 p.m. on 1450 KEST in San Francisco, KESTradio.com, and we will resume our Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden on May 2nd, that being syndicated through T Radio V, which is now building new studios at Channel 20 Coffee in San Francisco, from where we will do Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden. As a vegan for 29 years now, I talk about all this subject matter, but I don't really recall that much about, you know, so-called meat. So I leave that recalling to the U.S. government, and the USDA is informing us that about 500,000 pounds of animal flesh, or meat, processed at Manda Packing Company in Louisiana are being recalled for possible listeria, bacterial contamination. If you eat meat contaminated by listeria bacteria, you could come down with listeriosis, a potentially fatal disease. Of course, if you eat meat not contaminated by listeria, you could come down with heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, also potentially fatal diseases. Anyway, the USDA says the potentially contaminated 500,000 pounds of meat have been distributed in 13 states. The recall includes beef, turkey breasts, ham shanks, pork, hog head cheese, pastrami, and corned beef, packaged under 41 different names. I am currently counting 18 USDA food recalls already in 2013, all involving animal products, and those range from fully cooked meat and poultry products to frozen chicken quesadillas, pork tamales, pork jerky, beef jerky, sausages, ribeye steak, ground beef, liver pate, all of those being recalled just since January 1st. Well, here's a story about somebody who might also have a hard time recalling meat and dairy, since he hasn't had any either for 22 years. I guess he doesn't have to be concerned about the recall and finding any of the contamination in his refrigerator. He feels his vegan diet is responsible for his world record set in the half marathon in Knoxville recently. You know, we broadcast our show on Sundays. Maybe you're out for a run. You have the headset on. Running around, feeling good. So here's a guy who set a world record in a half marathon in Knoxville. Previous to that, he set an American record in an even faster time than his 3:04 in Knoxville when he did it in 2:56:26. Pretty amazing, isn't that, when you consider that the vegan runner, Mike Fremont, is 91 years old. 91 years old, and he's setting half marathon records in age categories. Well, where many people think it's a marathon to get from the bedroom to the bathroom with a walker. And Mike Fremont is a runner, crediting his vegan lifestyle for his running accomplishments and also for him being alive, as he went vegan 22 years ago at age 69 to combat cancer, which he has also left in the dust. So, a marathon is, a marathon is what, 26 miles, right? So, this 91-year-old is running 13 miles, about 13 miles, much of them uphill, and doing them in about 3 hours. So what's that, about 4 1/3 miles per hour, 13 miles in 3 hours. I mean, he's faster than some L.A. freeways at rush hour. Anyway, congratulations, Mike Fremont, on your record-setting running accomplishments at age 91. That is terrific. I want to remind you that next week is the Cesar Chavez Holiday Parade and Festival. I guess it's actually this week, since it's Saturday, April 20th in San Francisco. We celebrate the life of the heroic labor civil rights leader who was vegan, who took as much pleasure in converting people to veganism as he did to trade unionism. So the Cesar Chavez Holiday Parade and Festival is coming up on Saturday, which is April 20th. 10 a.m., we assemble for the parade in Dolores Park at 19th and Guerrero. I'll march along with the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. 11 a.m. Is the parade, and then noon to 5, the 24th Street Street Fair between Treat and Bryant Streets. I'll be speaking again this year at the Cesar Chavez Parade. I have to be the family member there who makes everybody uncomfortable, just like, you know, the vegan at Thanksgiving when everybody's trying to enjoy the, you know, the dead bird. I'll be out there saying, you know, like, what would Cesar be eating here today? There's nothing for Cesar to eat. But it's important that people hear his message and honor his life with what was important to him, right? It was important to him that everyone go vegan. He had the same situation at his family gathering. So if we want to honor Cesar Chavez properly, we talk about his veganism. We encourage others to go vegan. I also want to point out that coming up on Sunday, April 28th, from noon to 4, Go Vegan Radio and the San Francisco Vegetarian Society will present a free screening of Vegetated and a vegan potluck at the main branch of the San Francisco Public Library at 100 Larkin Street at the Latino Hispanic Meeting Room. I will be hosting, along with Dixie May, special guest speakers who appear in the film will be Brian Flegel and Kenneth G. Williams, champion vegan bodybuilder who trained Brian in the film. And so bring vegan food to share. The admission is free. Again, that's Sunday, April 28th, noon to 4. And World Week for Animals in Laboratories. Oh, I guess the name has been changed to better protect the innocent, I guess. Huh? World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week is coming up. That starts next Saturday also. It goes April 20th through the 28th. And we will be discussing that on today's program. We'll be discussing that with Michael Budke of Stop Animal Exploitation Now. So, a lot of exciting developments happening with Go Vegan Radio and Go Vegan TV. And they all cost money. We still have to purchase airtime. We have production costs. So this would be a great time to support giving the animals a voice in mainstream media. You can do so by making a donation at goveganradio.com. Click the donate button over there. You can find it. We have a new website. Hope you enjoy looking at that. Check out the hundreds of archives that are there for your listening pleasure. And please do make a donation. We have to upgrade equipment and do all sorts of things to be doing radio syndicated through GCN starting the first week in May, and doing our TV show again, resuming that May 2nd. We did one on March 28th. You can see that. It's the archive, the March 28th archive, oddly enough, at goveganradio.com. So you can check that out. We did one show, and then T-Radio V shut down to rebuild studios at Channel 20. You can also advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services and to an ever-growing audience that we have. To find out about that, email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. And we will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, with Michael Butke, talking about World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special place, no meat, dairy, fish, or eggs in San Jose. Experience Vegetarian House, 100% organic vegan restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. A favorite fine dining establishment since 1994, featuring a spectacular international menu embracing the cuisines of China, India, Thailand, Vietnam, the Middle East, Europe, and the Americas. Appetizers, soup, salads, entrees, and desserts that you simply must experience. Enjoy freshly squeezed organic fruit and vegetable juices. Committed to your fine dining experience, your health, compassion for animals, and the environment, Vegetarian House is powered by rooftop solar panels. Waste is composted or recycled when possible, and all to-go packaging can be composted or is biodegradable. The cuisine at Vegetarian House is GMO-free and organic. See the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. Experience one of the world's best 100% vegan organic restaurants. You'll love the bakery items. Raw desserts are available, too. Have your next event catered by Vegetarian House. Whether you need power box lunches or it's a full banquet, call 408-292-3798. Vegetarian House. Now you know the way to eat in San Jose. 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. VegetarianHouse.us. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden would like to express its appreciation to Vegetarian House for its ongoing sponsorship of our radio program. To advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products, email bob@goveganradio.com. RecipeFactory.net. Create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. Visit RecipeFactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones. Customize to use or avoid specific ingredients. Meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budgetary requirements. Check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load. Create food and meal substitutes, upload your recipes, and download others. Visit RecipeFactory.net. Create at RecipeFactory.net.
KCAA.
Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. VeganRadio.com. And we are listener-supported. You're listening. You're a listener. Please support us. You can make a donation online at goveganradio.com. Click the donate button or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147. You are giving the animals a voice in mainstream media as we expand our syndication and we move to television. Also, radio and TV, two shows a week. So please help us finance those so that we can tell you about what's happening to animals and you can help them. The imprisoned animals in laboratories need your help. And we have World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week coming up, April 20th to 28th, and one of its organizers is Michael Budke of Stop Animal Exploitation Now. How are you doing today, Michael?
Very good, Bob. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Great. Thanks for being here. I think that in the past I've been saying World Week for Animals in Laboratories, or have we settled on a name? Is it a different name, or we're it's a
well,
little different from?
We think it's important to have the word liberation in the title of the event, because the goal is to get the animals out of the laboratories, and that's why we think it's important to use that name.
I love it. It's World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week, April 20th through the 28th. What's the idea behind it?
Well, the idea behind this event is to give grassroots activists a time period in which they can all come together to work on this issue and to have an impact for the animals. We have events being registered on an almost daily basis, but as of right now in the U.S., we have 19 events listed in 13 states. We also have events going on in Australia, France, Germany, Italy, the U.K., and even one in Turkey. And so this really is a worldwide event, and we want to encourage activists across the U.S. to get involved. There's still plenty of time to pull together a protest event, get the data together and hold a news conference, do tabling, whatever activists feel comfortable with doing. But the important thing is that we all come together and stand up for the animals.
Mm-hmm. And what should we be telling the public if we are out there, if we're at a demonstration or at a table? What should we be telling the passersby who may know nothing? I mean, they may not even know what's happening on their campus, right? Because the vivisection, experimentation on animals, is never done, you know, in the public square. It's done behind windowless walls, and nobody really gets to see what's happening.
Well, there are so many different things that are important to bring out about the experimentation issue. You know, for one thing, the general public is often led to believe that animal laboratories, basically that everything's okay there because it's a system that's well-regulated and the laboratories are inspected by a federal agency, and the reality is that nothing could be further from the truth. During 2012 alone, laboratories were either cited, fined, or discovered to have killed 219 animals through negligence. We're talking about a total of 42 laboratories killing 219 animals through sheer negligence. And we're talking about things that are just utter carelessness, things like forgetting to hang a water bottle on a cage, leaving a non-human primate in a cage sent through a cage washing system. And this kind of negligence has continued on into 2013 because, for example, the University of California, Davis was recently cited by the USDA for inadequate veterinary care, which caused 19 non-human primates, many of whom were infants, to die. The Texas Biomedical Research Institute in early 2013 was also cited for killing two primates through negligence. There have been
you mentioned Davis. I see that it's there's a an event scheduled there on Friday, April 26th at UC Davis from noon to 2 p.m.
And we certainly want everyone to come out and support that event as well as all of the other ones that are listed on our website.
Right, they're listed on the website. People may not know that the California National Primate Research Center is at Davis.
Yes, it's one of the UC Davis is the home of one of the largest primate research centers in the entire nation. Annually, varies from one year to the next, they typically handle somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 non-human primates, all in captivity, prevented from being in their natural surroundings, many of them spending their entire lives in cages that are little more than stainless steel boxes. And this is the kind of thing that non-human primates across the U.S. experience. I mean, to give you an idea, the best estimate we've been able to come up with is that between laboratories and dealers, this is for 2011, the last year for which we have full statistics, something like 130,000 to 150,000 non-human primates were in laboratories. But there are a lot of other aspects of the overall experimentation issue that people really don't know about. For example, again, because people are told that this whole system is so well regulated, they think that the experimentation is done in a way at least so that the animals don't feel any pain. Well, that's simply not true. Again, for 2011, over 116,000 regulated animals, which doesn't include rats, mice, and a lot of other species that are actually excluded from the definition of the word animal. But during 2011, 116,000 animals were used in painful experiments without benefit of anesthesia. And the number one laboratory in the U.S. is in Minnesota. It's a place called Wuxiaptec. They do a private contract laboratory. Over 70% of the animals in this facility are used in painful experiments without anesthesia, and they're the target of one of the protests during World Week. And again, we want everyone to come out to that event to express their outrage at this kind of abuse.
So where do people find the events in which they can participate for?
Well, our website is www.saenonline.org, and the top link in the very center of the homepage takes you to our event page for World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week, where you can get connected with events, register your event, or get information that will be useful for putting things together.
For our listeners in Southern California, there's a demonstration at UCLA Thursday, April 25th from 11:30 to 2. You meet at LeConte and Westwood. Note that, you know, the Colorado shooter was a vivisector, the one, the movie theater killer. Isn't it amazing? It just comes to mind what a strange occupation it would be.
For your listeners in Southern California, there's also a protest event going to be on April 26th at 4:30 p.m. in San Diego. And we'd like everyone to get involved with that event as well.
Okay. In San Diego, that's, let's see, that's 4:30 p.m. in San Diego. Meet at the intersection of North Torrey Pines Road and Genesee Avenue in La Jolla. That's like a vivisection capital in the country, right along there. That's like Vivisection Row in La Jolla.
Well, there are certainly a number of laboratories in that vicinity. I believe one of the ones that we've focused on in the past is the Salk Institute, because they perform a lot of very highly invasive experiments on non-human primates.
The Salk Institute, that's where the Colorado movie shooter worked for a while, oddly
not
enough.
Not certain about that.
I'm trying to remember his name, James. Actually, I guess I'm trying to forget his name, you know, but there he was, a vivisector. He was a vivisector at the Salk Institute. He was in Denver. Michael, I want to talk to you a bit about, we talk a lot about what the animals have to endure, but, you know, this is really a big waste of taxpayer money. And I want to talk to you. We need to take a break, but after we take that break, there was negligence at seven U.S. primate centers. I mean, we would think that these are institutions of the highest learning, and these institutions have received $320 million in U.S. tax dollars. And I'd like to, after we take the break, take a little tour of these facilities with you, and maybe do a quick mention of the seven of them, and what's wrong with it, and why vivisection actually seems to get in the way of medical progress. So we'll continue. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden talking to Michael Budke of Stop Animal Exploitation Now. Please support the program with a donation. So donate at goveganradio.com. And if you'd like to advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services, please email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com.
Animals and the Afterlife. It's the heartwarming book from author, animal lover, and animal communicator Kim Sheridan. Visit animalsandtheafterlife.com. Do animals have souls? What happens when they die? This book offers some amazing answers. Animals and the Afterlife provides comfort for anyone who has ever loved and lost an animal, and food for thought for anyone who has ever questioned the place of animals in the larger scheme of things. Read about Kim's experiences and the experiences of people around the world in Animals and the Afterlife, Forward Magazine's Book of the Year Award winner. See more about author Kim Sheridan at kimsheridan.com, her other books, films, and compassionate projects. And learn more about this amazing book and order it at animalsandtheafterlife.com.
With over 200 restaurants around the globe, Loving Hut is the largest chain of independently owned vegan restaurants worldwide. The first one in North America is in Milpitas, California, at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford University students and faculty enjoy Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. There are three Loving Hut locations in San Francisco, one in Elk Grove and one in San Jose. For the Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. You'll find Loving Hut restaurants throughout Southern California, too. And in the Inland Empire, there's a Loving Hut in Claremont and in Upland. Many of the goodies at Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga are from the bakery at Loving Hut Upland. The people at Loving Hut are on a mission to save your health, save the animals, and save the planet from climate change and other environmental disasters caused by meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption. Who knew that saving the planet would be so delicious? Save the planet. Eat at Loving Hut.
For the record... Hell, we are the record. KCAA, the Inland Talk Express.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Luka. GoVeganRadio.com. I remember now. It's James Holmes, who was the Colorado movie shooter. And he was a vivisector. Whenever you find the people doing the most heinous of crimes, the serial killers, they always seem to start with animals. We're talking today to Michael Budke of Stop Animal Exploitation Now, and we have World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week coming up April 20th through the 28th. I have to remember, we used to call it something different, but I love it that the words animal liberation are in it. World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week, April 20th through the 28th, and there are events going on in 13 states, countries around the world, you know, UK, France, Germany, Italy, Australia, Turkey. Turkey is doing, you know, anti-vivisection events. Could you please form one in your community? So, Michael, before the break, I mentioned to you that, it's been revealed that negligence at seven U.S. primate centers who are recipients of $320 million in U.S. tax dollars every year have their experience. I mean, this negligence could invalidate, not that they're valid to begin with, could invalidate hundreds of projects. And these institutes of lower learning are some of the most respected universities in the country. Could you take us on a little tour of around the country of these institutions and what they're doing to
certainly
waste all this taxpayer money?
As far as the whole issue of the taxpayer funding of animal experimentation, one of the things that's very important for people to know is that overall, and this estimate is a couple of years old, but overall, the U.S. federal government spends something on the order of $12 billion a year funding animal experimentation. Now, certain laboratories get, shall we say, larger chunks of that money. There are eight primate research centers. Seven of the eight within the last year or so have been involved in very serious incidents of negligence. as I think I mentioned earlier, the University of California, Davis was just recently cited for extremely inadequate veterinary care such that at least 19 non-human primates died due to inadequate veterinary care, and many of them were infant animals. The facility was trying to make the point and, shall we say, play this whole thing down to say that this was something that only happened during 2009 and 2010 and that it was something that was just, you know, an old issue and don't worry about it. Well, the reality is that when we examined their records, this continued into the next year, killing another dozen animals, at least most of whom were also infant primates. And as soon as we get more recent records, I'm sure we're going to see that the pattern has continued. The Texas Biomedical Research Institute, which is not actually a university, they're a private facility, had recently been fined $25,000 by the USDA for an incident involving the death of a non-human primate. And then just, I believe it was the inspection report came out in January of this year, they were cited for killing two more primates just through sheer negligence. It was an incident where it was something to do with the enclosures were handled in a faulty manner and this ended up killing the animals. Or the Oregon Health Sciences University, which is in Portland, and they typically have on the order of 3,000-4,000 non-human primates total. During 2012, they paid a fine of over $11,000 for killing several primates. Emory University in the Atlanta area was just recently cited for killing a primate, and this was a shall we say, a particularly unintelligent incident where they were taking a primate back to the enclosure after some kind of procedure had been performed, and they succeeded in putting what was apparently a non-dominant primate into the wrong enclosure, and the animal ended up dying as a result of injuries that came out of that. During 2011, the University of Washington paid a fine of over $10,000 and is currently the target of another complaint, which involved the non-human primates receiving burn injuries, traumatic injuries, and kind of one of my favorite instances, there was an incident where one of the monkeys at the primate center in Seattle there actually got a hold of a pair of scissors. And Harvard in the Boston area has been the center of literally a swirling controversy about negligent primate deaths for well over a year now. And in fact, at one point, the situation there was so bad, and we were able to put so much pressure on this facility. In fact, I think during 2012, we generated something like two dozen news stories that were negative about Harvard. But then again, when they're as negligent as Harvard has been, it's not really particularly difficult. Things got so bad there, the director of the Primate Center actually resigned during 2012. But these are the kind of facilities that we're giving, as you mentioned, hundreds of millions of dollars to. And if they can't do basic things, if they can't hang a water bottle on a monkey's cage or notice that the cage isn't locked down correctly and that the way it's sitting right now is a danger to the animals, or they can't remember which cage they got the monkey out of so that they can avoid putting it in the wrong enclosure and having the animal attacked and die. If they can't do basic things like that, why should we think they're capable of doing science?
Yeah, really. They are able to keep those white coats very, very clean and pressed, though, I think. That's fair.
Well, they also seem to be capable of using up a lot of paper and getting a lot of journal articles published, but that seems to be about the only thing that's really coming out of this. I mean, at a time when right now we can't afford to pay for health care for human beings, how many people could we be providing health care to with that $12 billion a year?
Right. And the complaints about vivisection and the fraudulent science of vivisection would be related to not being able to extrapolate results from one species to another. I mean, it's,
certainly.
I don't know if we've cured cancer in a mouse or a rat yet, but it doesn't seem to have worked for humans unless humans
stop eating. Why is it that you take your dog or your cat to a veterinarian instead of to a medical doctor? The reason is because animals have very different bodily functions. They have different toxicities to drugs. There are so many things that are different that, well, I'll give you one example. A number of years ago, when some of the very first AIDS-related research was being done, there was actually some work done utilizing cats, because cats have something called feline leukemia, which some of the symptoms can be kind of similar to AIDS in human beings. And the result of that research was a wonderful feline leukemia vaccine, but we obviously still don't have an AIDS vaccine for human beings. And in fact, later, AIDS research was taken to animals that are physiologically more similar to us than cats. Now, most of the AIDS research that's done in animals involves macaque monkeys or one other species of non-human primate. The only problem with this is that in humans, AIDS comes from the HIV virus, which does not make other species of primates become symptomatic. And other species of primates, they suffer from something called SIV, which is the simian immunodeficiency virus, which, by the way, doesn't give AIDS to people. So to try to come up with some way to develop a vaccine, what in some scientists, and I use that term loosely, have done is they've spliced these two viruses together and they formed what they call an SHIV. Well, SHIV, which is neither a human virus nor a primate virus, has given us something well over 80 vaccines, none of which have proved helpful for preventing humans from getting AIDS. And the reality is that you can't really do research on other species that's going to generalize to human beings, because we're just playing different. I mean, decades and decades ago, there were a few diseases that were, for example, zoonotic diseases, ones that actually cross species lines and function roughly the same way. In situations like that, there may have been a bit of scientific relevance, but the diseases that are killing human beings right now are specifically human conditions that we do not and cannot replicate in other species. For example, you know, a lot of the problems that people have with high cholesterol, high blood pressure, heart disease, things of that nature are due to the way we eat. And I don't see too many dogs, cats, primates, or any other species of animal going through the drive-thru at McDonald's to get a Big Mac and experience the resulting negative health impact. Mm-hmm. So this really just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all this research is going to find cures to our dietary habits, or our aberrant dietary habits of eating flesh, of eating so-called meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Really, all of these animals are suffering in laboratories because we're trying to find cures to, the cure is to go vegan, actually, which is what it is. And if I were living in any of those neighborhoods of the institutions you just mentioned, if I were in Atlanta near Emory University, or, you know, in Boston near Harvard, or in San Diego, you know, in La Jolla, I hope they're keeping the windows closed at all those institutions. I'm a little concerned, you know, that, you know, the window gets open, something comes out, and who knows what they're creating there.
Well, you certainly should be, because in many instances for several of those laboratories, some of the things they've also been cited for is primate escapes. Mm. And even though these diseases may not produce anything in some of the non-human primates, that doesn't necessarily mean that some of... You know, viruses do mutate, and you never know what the result is going to be. besides that, in a number of research facilities, we also see things happening where animals are being used in everything from chemical weapons research to biological weapons research, things involving anything from Ebola virus to the plague. And, you know, what happens if one of those animals that's been exposed to, well, let's talk about a really pleasant disease, the plague. Let's say if one of those primates or rats or whatever other species we want to talk about somehow escapes, what's that going to cause?
Mm-hmm. Your tax dollars at work. We're talking to Michael Budke of Stop Animal Exploitation Now. World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week is April 20th through the 28th. So we have maybe a minute or two left, but what are the alternatives to animals in laboratories, Michael?
Well, one of the best alternatives to animals in laboratories is to have researchers, these quote-unquote scientists, get real jobs. Because if the only real result of this research is keeping some of the research, these folks employed, then maybe they just need to look for employment elsewhere. But one of the other things that is, I mean, there are so many other methodologies. I mean, for example, going back to the HIV/AIDS situation, most of the useful information we have in that area has come from clinical and epidemiological research that involves working with human beings who actually have diseases and not only providing them with some innovative treatments that might not have been considered otherwise, but actually examining them, tracking their disease as well. In many instances, we obtain very useful information from autopsies of human beings who have suffered with certain diseases. That's when we can actually look at someone who had a disease such as Alzheimer's or Parkinson's and see exactly what parts of the brain are being affected, how they look different. Other things such as...
Okay, Michael, we are out of time. Once again, what's the website and where people can get involved with World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week?
Yeah, www.saenonline.org. Top of the website, there's a link for World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week, and right next to that is a link where they can donate the same to support our work.
Great. You can donate at the website. It's saenonline.org, sane as in Stop Animal Exploitation Now, S-A-E-N, online.org. Thanks for being with us today, Michael Budke. We will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden.
A grocery store that's 100% vegan, and not just that, the largest vegan grocery anywhere? It's Viva La Vegan, 9456 Roberts Street, Rancho Cucamonga. Thousands and thousands of items, everything vegan, everything cruelty-free, no animal ingredients, no animal testing. Viva La Vegan Grocery, organic produce, fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, and introducing Veganic. Want to go beyond organic? Coming soon to Viva La Vegan. Thousands of grocery items, some you won't see anywhere else. Fresh juice from the juicer at Viva La Vegan Grocery. Donuts, cupcakes, supplements, gluten-free. Viva La Vegan, raw foods, vegan dog food, household items, personal care, books, belts, shoes. They all come together at the largest vegan grocery anywhere. Great prices, friendly staff, thousands of items, everything vegan at Viva La Vegan, 9456 Roberts Street, Roberds, Rancho Cucamonga, California, 909-941-4495, VivaLaVeganGrocery.com, 909-941-4495, Viva La Vegan. Move over dairy. Make way for creamy goodness from coconut cow. Real food, real nutrition from coconut cow. Coconut yogurt, cultured, fermented, creamed coconut meat. A treat by itself or with fresh fruit. Coconut cream, a vegan's dream for baking instead of butter. Raw coconut water, coconut milk for smoothies. Coconut kefir, mango lassi. Visit CoconutCowCafe.com. Organic, gluten-free nutrition from Coconut Cow. No fumigated coconuts from Thailand are ever used by Coconut Cow. Also try Coconut Cow fermented sweet potatoes and sweet potatoes with mango, artisan sauerkraut, and kombucha. Available at Viva La Vegan Grocery, Rancho Cucamonga, and Grassroots Natural Market and Kitchen, South Pasadena. Shipping available. Call 626-993-5631. CoconutCowCafe.com.
The other station claims to be local. Since when is Glendale local? KCAA News Talk 1050, your true local station.
Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. I remind you again, Sunday, April 28th, noon to 4 p.m., Go Vegan Radio and the San Francisco Vegetarian Society present a free screening of Vegucated and a Vegan Potluck at the main branch of the San Francisco Public Library at 100 Larkin Street. That's April 28th, noon to 4. It also is time to take a stand against the most violent, unhealthy, dangerous, cruel, environmentally destructive product on the market today. You know, we're not just against foie gras. We're against all meat, dairy, fish, and egg production. We're not just against factory farms. We're against all farming of animals, chickens, cows, fish, pigs. It's time to say no to poisoning our children, say no to climate change, say no to the killing. So let's stand up against the evil. Let's stand up against meat. Let's dedicate ourselves to the cause and have a really big turnout at the protest against Farmer John at its Vernon, California location, Saturday, May 4th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'm hoping that I can be there, but I think that's the weekend where we debut on the Genesis Communications Network. I'm not quite sure if logistics will work out on that one. I'd love to be there. I'll be there in spirit. I'm hearing that people are going to be coming there from all over the country. Right now, pigs are moving along the Farmer John disassembly line, being stabbed to death to produce this season's supply of Dodger dogs to Dodger Stadium. About 30,000 innocent, intelligent creatures will be murdered for the Dodgers alone. Oh, what a shame, huh? As I said, we're hearing from people all over the country who are interested in attending, and I hope you'll consider being there too. Okay? So it's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Next week I want to get into the what's going on with Fukushima, the whole nuclear situation. You know, it's no nukes, no war, no meat as far as we're concerned. And recently the was the chairperson of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission who said that all 104 nuclear power reactors now in operation in the United States have a safety problem and they all should be shut down. He knows that's not practical, so he says they all should be phased out. So that's pretty scary, and also it's pretty scary what's happening in Japan right now at Fukushima. We trust these scientists, so they put on a white coat, and we trust them for everything, right? For vivisection, for whatever, you know. And it's really quite amazing, you know, in Japan at Fukushima, for example. You know, the contaminated water pits, they lined them with only two layers of plastic, each 1.5 millimeters thick, and a clay-based layer, 6.5 millimeters thick. And they're wondering why it's leaking, why the contaminated water is leaking into the soil. And they say, oh, don't worry, it's not leaking into the Pacific Ocean. That's a half mile away. So as they say, don't worry, it's not leaking into the Pacific Ocean. You can be sure it is leaking into the Pacific Ocean. What a mess. It's the crisis that will keep on giving year after year. You know, what's the half-life on radioactive substances? Hundreds of thousands of years. So what a mess. We'll be talking nuke in the weeks ahead of... Let's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. I guess we have baseball coming up on KCAA, so we are heading out of here. So for archives, podcasts, and to donate online, please go to goveganradio.com.